The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Heyo, welcome in. It's episode 8 of the TFA Dino Show, and I'm questioning out there how many of you survived week 2. We had injury apocalypse. Tom, my team's managed, but they're down. They're definitely down. Some are down Barkley, down some Cortland Sutton. Do you have any teams that got hit this week 2?
Well, I have my home league team. It's full of monsters, and monsters went down. So I had CMC, Michael Thomas, and possibly Devontae Adams. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. A lot of people are feeling your pain. That was Tom Corson at Dynasty Infidel that you just heard, my co-host here. I'm at NFL Robbie on Twitter. And today we are talking how you guys can manage through all of these injuries. If you're a team that's still in win now mode in Dynasty, what moves can you make to keep on pushing through? And then with all these injuries, if you're a rebuilding team, how can you capitalize on some of these injuries that we saw? So we got a really good episode tonight. We would like for you guys to subscribe to our channel, the Fantasy Authority Podcast. We're on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, you know, everywhere, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. And then, you know, check out the website, thefantasyauthority.com or FF_authority on Twitter. We have waiver articles, streamer videos, sit start, dynasty, DFS, DGen Nation is doing their Thursday DFS pod. Make sure you tune into that. So yeah, just a ton of content, everything you could need from DFS to dynasty, but we are the dynasty aspect. So Tom, let's talk some dynasty.
Let's do it.
And our quick kind of takeaway from week 2, I've got mine, but Tom, I'm going to let you start off first. What's kind of just your quick takeaway from the second week of the 2020 season?
So Aaron Jones is still really, really good at football.
And he is.
Everybody was essentially writing him off, you know, A.J. Dillon or the touchdown regression. It didn't necessarily matter. People were just looking for a reason to write him off and fade him. And he fell in a lot of drafts. And if you were in a startup and he was going like late 2 and early 3, it looks like you have yourself a pretty good value over here. So Aaron Jones is still really good. My opinion, he's still their number 2 target as far as receiving. He catches balls that he shouldn't be catching. He runs routes like a receiver. I think that's a really underrated aspect to his game. And they still hate him in Green Bay. His usage still isn't even what it should be, which is the absolute crazy part. So if they ever wind up giving him the proper usage, he's going to wind up being, you know, up there, RB2, RB3. Could be the RB1 because CMC and, you know, I'm not even going to say Barkley because Barkley was never the RB1, especially not this year. But he could be doing that. Robbie, what's yours?
Yeah, just to add to that, I think, you know, Aaron Jones, you almost don't want to mess with the recipe, right? Like, sure, he doesn't get the touches that we know he should get, but running back 2 last year, obviously a lot of that was touchdowns, but again, doing a lot with, you know, the, I'd say, healthy workload, but not the monster workload that we'd love to see out of running back. So I am with you, but I also kind of say, let's not mess with the recipe because I've got him in some leagues and it's working right now. So, my guy is Cam Newton. And I just think my quick takeaway is, as you know, I was a guy that was on Cam Newton from the signing. I had him in my top 10 QBs right away. I didn't move him up much past like QB 9 just because obviously there's some uncertainty coming off the injury, you know, new team, getting acclimated. But a lot of people had him down in the teens, some even farther down, closer to QB, you know, 20. And I've just bought back in, and he's done even more than I could have even expected. You know, Sunday night he had 397 passing yards, touchdown and interception, but two rushing touchdowns. He now has four on the year. Healthy Cam has never finished outside the top five quarterbacks. And so I think if we have healthy Cam, it's tough to imagine him not doing that. He's QB3 right now. Yeah, I just think it's crazy that some of these teams just waited so long to sign him. Patriots obviously end up getting him, but a fun fact, I'm not sure if you saw the tweet that a guy put out of all the people who got guaranteed money more than what Cam Newton got, but we're talking about Josh Dobbs, Matt Barkley, Jared Stidham, CJ Beathard, Jacob Eason, Matt Schaub, Ryan Finley. Like, what? How are these guys getting more guaranteed money than Cam Newton?
Well, I didn't know if it was going to be healthy Cam or what kind of Cam we were going to get. So I told you before, I was erring on the side of caution with my rankings to start with, and then I was going to move them up, which I have. But I honestly, I think that contract was about Cam going out and putting himself in the best situation possible to make the next contract. And he is, if he can continue to play like this, he's going to make some money, and that guaranteed money is not going to be a problem for this year. So, yeah, Cam is earning his money and then some.
Do you think he stays with the Patriots? Because we're on a one-year deal. Obviously, he's going to get paid if he continues what he's been doing. Do you think he stays here, or will he just, you know, is Bill not going to pay him?
So I think it all comes down to how the Patriots wind up finishing this year. Because if they love a quarterback in the draft and they want to develop him and they just don't do well and they have a top, you know, 10 pick and they find a way to move up and get one of those QBs, then I don't think he's going to come back just because Bill knows, you know, the benefits to having a cheap quarterback. You look at when quarterbacks get paid and what happens to the team around them. Mm-hmm. The best case is Flacco when he gets paid, and then the next thing you know, it guts the Ravens and they didn't do anything else for years. So Bill's smart, so he'll take that into account. If I had to guess, I don't think the Patriots are going to finish that badly, so I think Cam will wind up coming back.
Yeah, speaking of getting paid, two contracts that came out, I think this was Sunday morning, if I remember correctly. I feel like we always get to like Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday feels like a month ago. But Robert Woods got a new contract, four-year extension for $65 million. And then what do the Bears go out and do after A-Rob is complaining about a new deal? They go out and give an extension to Tariq Cohen, 3 years, $17.3 million, and he got a whole six touches on Sunday. Just kind of overall thoughts with these two and their dynasty implication.
You give the RB2 for a football team who is mainly used as receiving back $6.5 million when A-Rob, who is a top like eight wide receiver in the NFL, I'm not talking about fantasy. Fantasy he could be, but the quarterback play isn't there. It's mind-boggling. I have no idea what they're doing there.
Hey, Mitch is 2-0. Mitch is 2-0, sir. Thanks to DeAndre Swift.
That's great. Yeah, thanks to DeAndre. That's great. But the Cohen thing, I don't know. Robert Woods being in L.A. is good for him. It's good for everybody out there. They've already shown that they have chemistry. Him and Kupp, as you know, they know how to work together. They can both be top 12 wide receivers together, so that's perfectly fine. Although this year, Kupp needs to actually maybe, I don't know, score some points in order for that to come to fruition.
Yep, he's been a little quiet. I do not think that will continue too much longer. We got to move into the contracts. We had some very, very small contracts signed this week, but I do think one of them has fantasy implications, dynasty implications, I should say. Blake Bortles went to the Broncos. That's not the one I'm talking about. The other one was Devontae Freeman going to the Giants. What I would think is going to work in, maybe not have a ton of work this first week because I think they have to do COVID tests. He might have to quarantine for a little bit. I honestly don't know if he's even going to be a go for week three, but it sounds like.
Yeah, so I believe they already said that he's good to go for week three. He's already like passed all of his stuff.
Gotcha. Okay, so he's going for week three. We'll see how effective he is. But, you know, Freeman is a guy who I've had him on a couple of rosters, and he's just sitting there. Got the FA, the free agents tag on him, and he's just sitting there. And I'm like, man, I would love to just move off this guy off my roster. Have to wait for him to sign. So he signs with the Giants. Is this a guy that you, no matter if you're rebuilding or you're contending, are you moving him off, or can he be a usable piece if you're in a win now mode?
Oh, he can be a usable piece. He can especially be a usable trade piece to trade to the Saquon owner if you don't have Saquon. Because that owner is probably either looking to buy and save his season or looking to sell Saquon cheap, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I think Freeman can actually be a little bit – he can be effective. He signed for not a ton of money, but, you know, decent money considering how late in the year he wound up signing. So this is going to be a show-me contract, and he's going to be motivated. And I think he's going to be okay. But Saquon wasn't exactly lighting things up behind that offensive line either. So we have to temper expectations. So if you can – I would trade Freeman to that Saquon owner, or just try and move him, get any piece of value, any, you know, piece you can for him of value.
Right. Yeah, I can't tell you how many tweets I saw that all said the same thing. You know, Barkley couldn't do X behind this line. Why should Freeman be able to? And I think that's kind of a short sample window, right? They obviously played the Pittsburgh defense week one. You know, that's going to be a tough front seven for anybody. And honestly, Barkley still saved his game by his receiving work, and I think that's something that Devontae Freeman excels at. So, no, I do not think he's going to be as good as Barkley or a running back one or anything, but I do think he'll have flex appeal. So I'm kind of right there with you that Freeman's a guy that if I have issues with CMC or Barkley or something like that, and I'm still in win now, I would kind of make that move. I'm not moving, obviously, Barkley for him, but I would make a move. Maybe if you're expecting to win, would a late second be too much to give for Freeman this season?
No, if it's a late second, I think that's perfectly fine, especially with all the question marks in the 2021 draft.
Okay. Injuries. I'm sure you've heard, you know, all the injuries, you know, from week two, Barkley, Sutton, CMC, Kittle, Mostert. So there's just a ton of injuries that we're still kind of watching with some of these other guys that are not done for the year. So, yeah, we just have guys that are injured left and right. And then we get another bomb dropped on us today. It's Jalen Reagor, torn UCL in his thumb. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. They might be able to get him back right before the bye. I can believe that by week nine. Is that correct, Tom?
Yeah, it's par for the course for the Eagles the last 3 years since they won the Super Bowl. It's like we sold our soul to the devil, and now we have all these injuries. So the Jalen Reagor injury is, you know, heartbreaking. For a couple of reasons. A, he was starting to show he's a deep threat. He does a lot for the offense to open things up. But on the bright side, if you have Deshaun, that's going to be interesting because he's going to get most of that deep work as long as he can stay on the field. So I know they were doing a pitch count with him and trying to keep him healthy throughout the season. So I'll be interested to see if they wind up doing the same thing or if they press him out there a little bit more often. But we were talking in the chat before about who's going to be the beneficiary, and I don't think it's going to be Greg Ward. I think you're looking at JJW possibly on the outside and John Hightower on the outside. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do at the X. You know, Alshon, if he comes back, will have to slide into that role. But I'm not buying either one of those wide receivers to do so, and it's honestly a pretty big loss.
Yeah, that's for sure. For two guys that were really excited about Reagor in that landing spot and just his talent, that is not ideal news for his rookie season.
I was going to say, I think Jalen Reagor is actually a buy, though, if you can wind up getting him for, you know, a second-round pick or something like that because the owner is impatient and he's already had a couple injuries. So just throw some feelers out there for you and see what you can do.
Absolutely. So let's move to buy or sell. I think that's a great segue here. You've got a guy that you think people should buy other than Jalen Reagor. Who is that guy?
So I'm thinking Kenyon Drake. He's only had 14.5 and 11.5 fantasy points the first 2 weeks. It feels like everybody was saying essentially that Kenyon Drake was going to blow up this year and he was the darling and you were people were talking about taking him in the late or early first and redraft. Or I'm sorry, the late first, early second in redraft. And he's somewhat disappointed. He hasn't killed you because he's, you know, gotten over 10 points, but he hasn't had the passing numbers to actually make him be, you know, an elite RB1 yet. So that's, you know, holding him back. But that offense looks really scary, and he's getting decent rushing volume, and he's been okay. He's had, like, I think it's 4.1 yards a carry, which hasn't been great, but at the same time, next 3 weeks, I think, is when he can take off because he's got Detroit, Carolina, and the Jets. So he's going to wind up, I think, doubling his point outfit or, you know, output this week. I think he's going to wind up having, you know, he could have 20 plus points this week alone. So if you can buy him, I think some of the shine is worn off after the first 2 weeks, and just kind of go get him.
Yeah, you talk about his next 3 weeks. Detroit, Carolina, and the Jets. I mean, eat that up all day, right? So, yeah, Kenyon Drake is definitely a guy that, you know, he even said it himself, right? He tweeted out to anybody who was doubting him, you know, go ahead and trade me and let these other guys, you know, get the fantasy wins. So I think he knows what we know, and that better times are ahead for him. My dynasty buy is a much less known name. It's a guy that I acquired a lot of shares of. Let's see, this would be the – just – 2019 rookie, Miles Boykin, came out of Notre Dame and just is a guy that has a lot of radius in his catch, can go up and get a sideline catch kind of guy. And now all of a sudden, 1 year after he's sitting behind Willie Snead, Chris Moore at the beginning, and obviously Marquise Brown, he's now leading the Ravens in snaps at the wide receiver position. And he's only second to Marquise Brown in targets. So this is a red zone guy that I think Lamar is going to start to lean on. Obviously, they have the tight ends in Andrews, and they'll always throw some to Nick Boyle here and there. But I think Miles Boykin is about to have some games where people are going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, so this guy is, other than Marquise Brown, he's a wide receiver we should, you know. And so by that time, it's going to be too late to get him for cheap. I honestly think you can get him for a third, a 2021 third right now. And so I would just say buy him before he goes off this year for a game or two, and people are hearing Miles Boykin all over the place.
No, I like Miles Boykin. He was very raw coming out, but, you know, he had a really good athletic profile. And one of the things that he can do is run block pretty well for a wide receiver. So that's why he's out there more than, you know, Hollywood, because he can run block and they're going to run the ball a ton there. So if they're running only one wide receiver out there and it's Boykin, guess what? Just by default, every now and again, they're going to wind up throwing the ball and it's going to be to him. So, and he can actually get some deep yards. He's a decent deep threat, and he's got some speed. So I think that's a good call.
What do you got for a sell?
So if you're in Superflex, I'm going to try and sell Aaron Rodgers. I don't think his numbers for the first 2 weeks are going to be sustainable, especially with, you know, Devontae Adams already banged up. They're going to lead on Aaron Jones. If you're in a Superflex league, get what you can for him while he's, you know, been outperforming his worth, because – again, the age, we're all ageists in Dynasty anyway, and he's getting up there. Last year we saw the decline coming, so I'm going to try and move him. If I can get a first-round pick for him, I probably do it. I don't know if that's selling a little bit cheap or not, but at the same time, if I have the depth and I can sell Aaron Rodgers, then I'm selling him all day.
Yeah, I think that sounds a little cheap to me if we're talking super flex. Just because of how well he has been playing this year. I mean, the last 2 years, he's had his touchdown percentage extremely low. I think he threw like 26 touchdowns last year, maybe 24 the year before, missing a couple games. So as of right now, it looks like that touchdown percentage is going to go back up to the, you know, 4.5. He's normally up at like 5%, but the 4.5 is the league average. So I think if we're expecting him to kind of stay as that low QB1, I would want a 1+ something. If we're talking about, you know, this is who he is now, he's a 3.7% touchdown passer, then yeah, maybe just a first, but I would try and get a little bit more there. But yeah, you're pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, or you could try and get one of the, you know, Drew Lock, who's injured, and a first round pick, something like that. Just to kind of, you know, put some sugar on top. But I like the idea of a young player and a first round pick for Aaron Rodgers, but I'm still selling him.
Absolutely. The guy I'm selling is a guy that I had in my bus, and man, he has just been taking me to task so far these first 2 weeks. That's Stephon Diggs. been an absolute baller. He has been the wide receiver 4, I think, on the season. And, man, he's just been crushing me, man. The Bills have thrown over 40 times average these first two games. I think they threw 46 in the first game and just under 40 times in the second game. And he's been doing well. But we got to remember their competition. You know, they played the Dolphins without Byron Jones for most of that game. And week one, they played the Jets, who have just been a disaster. They basically let Nick Mullins and half of Jimmy Garoppolo run and pass all over them. So now they face the Rams, and this is a tougher matchup, I think, you know, going up against Jalen Ramsey, going up against the Rams squad. I think we'll really find out if the Bills are this aired-out team that we were not expecting. And just looking at the rest of their schedule, they have Raiders, Titans, Steelers, Broncos, Patriots for their playoffs, weeks 14, 15, 16. So there's a lot of good passing secondaries in some of those teams that I've named. And so I think right now you have the best that you'll see Stephon Diggs, and I would be willing to sell him.
What are you trying to get for him if you can sell him? What's your goal there?
Man, I think like what you said with Aaron Rodgers, I think I'm looking for a first and then maybe a young piece. Like, can you get a Chase Claypool and a first? Can you get a Van Jefferson in a first? Something like that. A guy that I'm interested in.
I think that's actually a little bit cheap.
A little cheap? Okay.
Yeah, especially because, you know, he's tied for the league lead in receiving yards, second in air yards. He's actually balling out for the first 2 weeks. So it's the same concept with Rodgers. We're trying to sell high on him.
Right.
So we have to, you know, find those players. Maybe
T. Higgins, Jalen.
Maybe
Rager.
Maybe a guy like Jalen Rager. If you can try and get C.D. Lamb and a 2 or something like that. Are you doing that?
See, that's where it's tough for me, because I don't think anyone's going to buy Stephon Diggs, because we spent first round capital on C.D. Lamb. We spent basically first round capital for Jalen Rager in most leagues, I would say. So basically, if you're talking a first and one of those players, that's 2 firsts, and I just do not see Stephon Diggs going for that. So maybe something like what you were saying, maybe a 1 in C.D. Lamb or Jalen Rager, and then you're talking about like a second, a late second, something like that. Maybe that's more that value. Let's move in. Speaking of value, let's just talk about all of these guys that have been changing value. We'll start off with the quarterback position. And I think one that everybody was really, really pleased to see play well was Joe Burrow on Thursday night against the Browns. He threw it 61 times, Tom. That's quite a bit for a rookie, any rookie, honestly. And he threw for 316 yards, 3 touchdowns. Just give me kind of your overall thoughts on Joe Burrow. Are you overreacting to that and moving him up, or did you basically have him where you thought he'd be? What are your thoughts?
For Dynasty, he's still – I'm not moving him up. I think he's performing still a little bit worse than I thought he would. I thought he'd come in with the weapons and play a little bit better. He's got rookie jitters, and you can tell. That it's just little things. Like, there was a snap where he's trying to get a timeout. Just miscommunications, and I think the coaching is a little bit lacking there. But he's a baller, and, you know, Tyler Boyd's coming around. AJ Green is getting so many targets. I don't even understand how he's not catching the ball, because Joe Burrow has to actually get it in the remote area of AJ Green, and he can catch it. He's got a big catch radius. Granted, he looks like Gumby, and he looks like he's going to, like, break every time he catches the ball and goes down on the ground, but he's still got a big catch radius. So I think he is showing a lot of promise, but that AJ Green connection really needs some work.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Another baller that we've been really impressed with through 2 weeks is Gardner Minshew. He's absolutely just done a lot better than I think most of us thought, especially as the Jaguars are shipping off all of their pieces right to other teams. Are you starting to move him up in Dynasty? I have him as the QB21, and I looked at Dynasty Football League's consensus, and they have him at QB24. You know, where do you have him for Dynasty, and have you moved him up?
I have him probably a little bit lower than that, but I did move him up because I basically had him ranked, I think, 30-ish, 29-ish, just because I didn't think he was long for that job. But if he keeps balling out and the Jags win a couple games and they don't wind up getting Trevor Lawrence, then Minshew is going to wind up you know, being the quarterback there. Even if they get the two pick and they don't, you know, necessarily think they need that quarterback and they go Penei Sewell and get the left tackle to actually protect them or something, that's going to be interesting. And they have other draft picks where they can get weapons. They have, I think, what do they have, 3 first-round picks this year?
Yeah, yeah. I think they're going that route that I think Giants had 3 picks 2 years ago and then the Raiders had 3 picks last year. So yeah, I think they're going that route.
Hopefully they do better than the Giants and they don't, you know, pull a DeAndre Baker and just get robbed.
Yep, absolutely. The last guy we want to talk about the quarterback position is – well, actually, hold on. Before I go to Justin Herbert, all the Jags need – They just need 4 wins, Tom. You know, you want to know why they just need 4 wins?
Oh, I know. Go ahead. Why don't you tell everybody?
You and I have a bet on this Jags over-under at 3.5 is what we put it at. And then the Jags went and sold literally their entire team. And I was like, hey, Tom, I wasn't quite sure that they were going to sell everybody. So I'm a little nervous about this trade. And you said, sucks to suck, Robbie. And now they're 1-1. Could have almost been 2-0, but 1-1. So I just need a couple more wins here to win that bet. But, yeah, we'll move on to Justin Herbert. I thought he had some really rookie moments in that game against the Chiefs, but I also think he had a lot of good throws. Obviously, he has great weapons, which helps a ton. But Tyrod obviously Tyrod has this condition that comes out that he's
– So it was chest tightness. That's what it was reported. And then today – So he was actually getting a pain shot in his ribs and the trainer or doctor punctured his lung.
Right. Just which wild. Is
absolutely bonkers. And I'm going to guess that guy's fired. Maybe it was Justin Herbert's dad as the doctor and he just wanted him in there or something like that. Right? But Tyrod just has the worst luck with stuff like that because Herbert should not be giving that job up. And to hear Anthony Lynn come out and say that, you know, Tyrod's the starter if he's healthy, especially after Justin Herbert went out and, you know, he had rookie moments, but he showed you why they drafted him in the first round. I don't understand. So Herbert had a better completion percentage, 66-53. More yards, 311-208. And I'm talking about they each had one game. Yards per attempt, 9.4 to 6.9 in favor of Herbert. They only have one TD. First downs, Herbert 15 to 11. Passer rating overall was 94 to 75. So Herbert has Tyrod in almost everything. And then Lynn comes out and say Tyrod's a starter if he's healthy. I'm beginning to wonder if like him and Adam Gase are having slumber parties or something together and just talking about ways to screw up their teams.
You know, and I think it's worth mentioning that Tyrod played the Cincinnati Bengals, man. Like they were missing two of their top 3 corners. They're missing Geno Atkins. They were a shell of themselves and they weren't even a very good defense to begin with. And he struggles against them. So I'm absolutely with you. It was wild to hear him say that. It sucks that Tyrod has, you know, this condition that wasn't even caused by his own hands. So, you know, I don't know where that's going to go. I don't know what to advise people on dynasty-wise with Tyrod. Just hang on to him for right now until we know more because doctors have advised him not to play indefinitely was what I read. So we got to move on to sadly more sad news. We knew we were wanting to talk about Barkley. A lot of people have questions on what to do with him. If you're competing, what can you trade him for? If you're rebuilding, what can you possibly – Well, if you're rebuilding, you probably still want to hang on to Saquon. Obviously, he's not old or anything, but he tears his ACL. He's done for the year. So what are some trades? I'm going to throw you a couple trades, and I know you probably got some for me. But if you are looking to trade for Saquon, would you – or if trade Saquon away, so you're in win now. You're trying to win still. Mm-hmm. You trade Saquon Barkley away, and you get James Conner plus a 2021 first. Is that enough?
No.
Okay. Barkley – You trade him away for Chubb and a 2021 second.
Yes, and we know how I feel about Nick Chubb.
Wow, okay. Anybody else like Swift, Akers, Dobbins in a first? Any of those guys? Are those guys just too low, too unproven yet? Like what other guys are you willing to take on with something else that you think could have success for the rest of the season?
So those guys are like right outside the range of like what I would take, especially because if you're going to wind up taking, you know, Swift, Akers, or Dobbins, then you're looking forward to the future, not necessarily this year. So, and it's the same thing with Saquon. The only difference is, are you saying that Saquon is a bust because he hasn't lived up to the hype? He's had one really good year and that's about it. He shows flashes, but he's had two really bad injuries.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Injuries, the high ankle sprain that kept him out last year a lot, and now he's had the ACL, so he's scary. So, like, right now, there's a bunch of running backs that I would take in a one-for-one trade, and some of them, you know, you're going to have to add on to Saquon. So I have CMC above him. Tell me if you agree. Obviously, CMC.
Yep.
Kamara.
Yep.
Zeke.
Yep.
CEH.
Yes.
JT.
Yes.
Dalvin.
Close. I mean, the Vikings have just looked rough this year. Now, I'm not going to let 2 weeks really just decide that for me, but that's getting close. That's probably an even trade, and I don't like making even trades.
Well, you can have Dalvin for this year, and they're both young, and Dalvin's locked up. So I'm taking Dalvin in that trade. Okay. Josh Jacobs?
I would say you have to, yeah.
Miles Sanders?
I'm not as big on Miles Sanders as you are. I think that's close like Dalvin.
But again, if you are competing this year, then you're probably going to take that, right?
It's a straight up trade.
Just,
I imagine so. I mean, there's going to be a drop off when he comes back, but I think for having him for 14 weeks, a healthy running back one is probably worth that. Yes.
Mixon.
Yes. Although Mixon's look terrible, but yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now these are the ones that are on the fringe for me. Derrick Henry.
Yeah. But a lot of people don't love Derrick Henry, but I do it.
Nick Chubb.
No, not for me. Yeah, Dynasty, I don't trust that with Kareem Hunt.
Right. We talked about it before. I need more as far as the pick. And then this is one of the guys we were talking about before, which is going to be shocking. Aaron Jones.
No, and the only reason I say that is I don't know where Aaron Jones will be next year. We're talking Dynasty. Obviously, he'd be amazing for this year, and I think you could ride it pretty close to a chip. And if you get the championship, that's all that matters, right? But if Aaron Jones goes to any type of timeshare, if he's not in Green Bay next year, I think you absolutely lose that trade unless you win this year.
So in one of my leagues, I put a poll out on Twitter, and it was Aaron Jones and a second-round pick for Saquon Barkley. And the one team that got Aaron Jones is on the cusp of competing, and the team that got Saquon was – you know, rebuilding. So it was actually really interesting. It was the 37% to both, you know, win-win, 37% to Aaron Jones, and then the remaining to Saquon. So that was the results there were a little bit telling because people are off of Saquon right now. They're just kind of fed up.
If I feel like my team is definitely a top three team, I think I probably do all those. If I'm in like a playoff mode where I think I have a chance, maybe I look for something else. I'm not probably going to do those trades, but let's keep rolling. Someone I just wanted to quickly touch on. I'm done with Sony Michel. Like, I've tried to stay in his corner, but dude, I am so done with Sony Michel. Like, James White has to miss the game, obviously for terrible circumstances, and you can't do anything with seven rushes and 19 yards or whatever you got. Like, I'm done. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but I just had to let the world know that I'm done with Sony Michel.
No, I've been done. You're a little bit late to the party. You were, yes, you know, holding on hope. You were standing outside of his window with a, you know, a boom box trying, yes, to get him to actually play. But yeah, no, he's a big disappointment considering where he went in the draft and who he went over.
Yep, absolutely. And then a guy that I mentioned a couple episodes ago, you know, someone who has just been sitting out there in Dynasty waiver wires when everyone thought Reggie Bonifant was going to be the handcuff to CMC, Mike Davis. And I snapped him up in a lot of leagues. And some of these leagues, I'm very interested in moving him, but I'm curious on what your thoughts are. Like, is this, do you want to see him play a game? And if he balls out, now he's worth even more because CMC is going to miss, you know, 4 to 6 weeks is the estimation. You know, does his injury linger a little bit longer? Who knows, right? Do you want to try and move Mike Davis before you see him play, or do you want to move him after you see him play? And if you do, what are some returns that you could get for him?
I want to see him play at least one game. If you can trade him to the second round, I'm sorry, if you can trade him for a second round pick, I'd probably do it, obviously. I'm not doing it for a third. You know, I would probably try and target, you know, a younger wide receiver or something along those lines. But Mike Davis, I saw, you know, in my best ball league, we have $200, like $200 fab, and he went for all $200.
Wow.
To somebody. And that was actually Nick Whalen who wound up snatching him up. And in my home league, we do auctions as far like with real money. If more than one person put in for him, and I wound up putting in for him because I have CMC and I spent 23 actual, you know, American dollars, so to speak, on Mike Davis just to make sure I had that backfield sewed up. So I think he's going to be fine because the game scripts are going to be negative as far as they're going to be losing. So he's going to get some passing work. He had 8 for 79 after CMC went out. So he's going to get passing work. I have no idea how he's going to do running the ball, but he's going to get passing work.
Yeah, I wonder if he's actually the number two running back behind Curtis Samuel. They had Curtis Samuel on 4 or 5 carries last week. So I think he will mix in to that backfield as well. Let's move to some wide receivers and a name that you've been dying to bring up. You've been bringing him up the entire season, off season. Tell me, who is the wide receiver one in Atlanta?
Well, according to statistics, we're going to say Calvin Ridley right now.
According to facts, good sir.
Facts, statistics, and also this thing called the eye test, which Calvin Ridley has looked better than Julio so far. And you know what else? He does what we all wish Julio could do, which is get targeted in the end zone and actually score touchdowns.
Yep.
He's got 4 touchdowns already. If Julio gets 6 in a year, we're thrilled, which is, you know, mind-blowing. So Calvin actually leads the league in air yards with 204. That's how many, you know, yards a ball travels in the air before it's actually caught. He's tied for the league lead in receptions, I believe. And he's also tied for the league lead in receiving yards with your boy who you want to sell, Stephon Diggs. That offense is really good. Calvin Ridley looks absolutely just amazing. He's slippery. And the coverage still has to shift towards Julio.
Yeah, this gives me a lot of feelings of that Roddy White Julio changeover, right? Where everyone was like, no, Roddy still got it. He's good. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Julio just usurps him. And there's a lot of people who deny it until they see it. And I'm one of those people. But you were definitely somebody who was on Calvin as kind of taking over as that wide receiver one. And so far, he's done it. I'm going to need like one more week, and I'll probably be right there with you. I'm a little bit slower as a guy who's just followed Julio for so long. I think Julio will bounce back and have some really strong weeks. So it'll be kind of an interesting jockey for position. And right now, Calvin Ridley's way ahead. And actually, Russell Gage is second right there in that race, and Julio's third. So give me some thoughts on Russell Gage. He's a guy that we talked up all over the place leading up to the season, and hopefully people have him on his on their rosters.
So it's kind of funny because we're talking about Russell Gage being their wide receiver two out there, and their OC came out and said that Julio was actually dealing with a more serious hamstring than he was letting on. So that's probably why he isn't balling out. So it might benefit Julio to actually sit a week or two. He normally winds up doing that during the season, but it's normally not till later, just to heal up a little bit instead of going out there at 80%, even though 80% of Julio is better than 95% of the wide receivers in the league. But Russell Gage, slot receivers, we were talking about it before the show. He leads the league in slot targets and slot receptions. And we know Matt Ryan is going to target him while, Hayden Hurst is still getting his feet wet. We talked about it after week one. We actually talked about it before week one too. So Russell Gage is a guy that's going to produce for you. I don't think I'm looking to sell him if I have him right now. I'm not selling him for a third, and I don't think people are going to wind up giving up a second-round pick. I actually had an offer for a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick, and I just instant decline.
Right, yeah, and I think Russell Gage is a person that you don't need to sell, right? Like, he's producing and he's young. Like, unless you're in a rebuild and you don't like young players, maybe you can't afford the points or something. Like, I don't know. He's young and he's producing, and Julio, can be out the door here in the next 2 years or something like that. No, I'm all in on Russell Gage. The Falcons are going to throw over 600 times. So yeah, man, I am all in on keeping Russell Gage and actually trying to acquire him if the price is right.
So the move with Russell Gage, if you own him, is trying to trade one of the wide receivers that you have ahead of him, because you didn't go into the season with Russell Gage as your wide receiver two or your wide receiver three, or else you were just epically horrible. So trading one of those other wide receivers who came into the season, who has better name value, name recognition, who might not be living up to, what he's playing for, a guy like Cooper Kupp or something, he's still going to land you something really good. So if you can wind up trading, a guy ahead of him and then plugging Russell Gage in and not having a huge drop off, I think that's the move.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of questioning who the wide receiver one is on a team, I think the other team where we're really starting to see maybe a changing of the guard is in Pittsburgh, man. We have Juju Smith-Schuster and we have Deontay Johnson out of nowhere leading in targets. Maybe not out of nowhere, but I don't think anyone was quite calling him to usurp Juju, especially this early. What are your thoughts there? Because obviously Juju has not been terrible. He had a really good week one, was kind of quieter week two. So he's not like he's fallen off like Julio kind of has these first 2 weeks, but Deontay Johnson has been 30% target share, the number one for Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes, he has. And this is a shameful plug on myself. I've been on Deontay Johnson, and this past weekend I put out my prop bets, which I am going to be doing every single week. And I said, Deontay Johnson, plus 150, over 5.5 receptions. He's a target monster. And he killed that. I believe he had 9 receptions and over 100 yards. So Deontay Johnson, I think, is taking over this role. He's got 21 targets to Juju's 14. That first game, Juju had 2 touchdowns, but other than that, he hasn't done a whole lot. 13 for 117. Deontay can, take it deep. Juju works, essentially only out of the slot, while Deontay can move around a little bit, but he's on the outside. So we saw Ben with Antonio. He likes throwing the outside wide receivers that can actually go deep. So I like Deontay Johnson to actually usurp Juju a little bit down the road. Possibly. I mean, he may have already, but I'm talking about value. Hasn't, overtaken him yet, but Deontay is definitely a buy for me if you can get him.
Does that make Juju a sell then? Because I'm not sure that if Juju continues to produce as the wide receiver two in Pittsburgh, that means he's way overvalued right now, correct?
Yes, he is. But I think some people are, you have to find somebody who's just, you know, crazy for Juju, because they're all looking at the same thing we're looking at and saying, ooh, I don't know. So if you have owners that aren't necessarily paying attention to how good Deontay Johnson is, then you're probably going to be able to get a really good return on Juju.
Gotcha. Now, kind of flipping that script and maybe looking at a player you want to sell as opposed to acquire. This is a guy that I have in a couple leagues, and I can't think of a bigger sell high candidate right now than Julian Edelman. You know, 34 years old, if I remember correctly. He's balled out this first 2 weeks, especially this last week, had a career high in yardage with Cam, but just looked kind of nicked up on like every play. Didn't he look tired and beat up and was limping? And Julian Edelman's always beat up and limping. So I want to move him before he gets hurt while his value is so high. I think he's, you know, wide receiver six or seven in the season long right now after 2 weeks. So this is a guy I can't think of a bigger sell high. What are your thoughts on Edelman?
Yeah, he's going to be a tough sell though. I mean, you remember Larry Fitz like 3 years ago where he was just really tough to sell because he was old and he looked like he was on his last leg, and then he kept on putting in like low wide receiver one numbers. But you couldn't sell him for, you know, a second round pick because people were saying, well, he's going to retire and he's dead. He's going to get hurt. And he just kept on producing. So if you can sell him, then, you know, have at it. But I'm not sure what you're going to be able to get.
I mean, I think for a team that needs, let's say they lost Cortland Sutton. Let's think of some dynasty teams where Cortland Sutton's probably your two. You probably have somebody else, maybe A-Rob or something. A-Rob's been kind of quiet. Let's say you have A-Rob, Sutton, and then the rest of yours are like Jameson Crowder and some
Mike
rookies.
Williams, yeah.
Some guys that you can't really rely on. I think that team would absolutely take a Julian Edelman for a second. But I almost want to get a first. I don't feel like a second. I don't know. Maybe that's just me being, you know, a stickler with my guy, right? My guy's always worth more to me than he is to another team. But I feel like you can maybe stretch a first, because think of it, it's going to be a late pick if this guy's competing or this gal's competing. So yeah. I almost feel like maybe you can add a little something to Julian Edelman to make it a late first. What are your thoughts there?
If you can add a little something, if you have to add a third to get a first, then I'm all about it. But I think his value is probably a second round pick. And unfortunately, the production isn't going to match up with, you know, his trade value. And that's what happens when players wind up getting older. So you're going to have to attach something to him. I mean, if you have a late pick, if you have a late two or something like that, and you can do Edelman and move up and get a mid first or something, do it by all means. I don't know if that's going to wind up working, just because if they're in the mid first, they're probably not going to, you know, buy Edelman. But
yeah, man, I think if we're talking a third and Edelman for a late first, I think I can see myself doing either side of that trade. If I'm competing late first and I need that wide receiver help, Julian Edelman should be good enough. I don't know if he'll be wide receiver seven good, but should be good enough to replace Cortland Sutton. And then I also get a third, which is kind of just a little sweetener, right? Some dart throw.
Yeah.
On the flip side, late first in this 2021 rookie class, I think would be stellar to get for Edelman.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Any other wide receivers you need to talk about, or should we kick it over to the tight ends?
Let's go tight ends, baby. I'm excited.
These tight ends, I tell you what, I'm pumped about all of them, because either you have been hyping them up or I've been hyping them up, and they're all hitting, man. Starting out, let's just start with your guy, Mike Gesicki. Just preach some gospel on Mike Gesicki.
All right, so Mike Gesicki, before the season even started, we had all our breakouts and we did an article, and my, you know, big point was essentially with Adam Shaheen coming in that Gesicki was going to line up more in the slot. And guess what? He has lined up in the slot a ton, 79% of the time. You can call me Nostradamus if you'd like to. 8 for 130 and a touchdown last game. And he is looking beastly, to tell you the truth. He's running really well. Overall, his routes look more crisp, and they have to throw the ball to somewhere. So, I mean, the game script is going to fit him. Obviously, Fitzpatrick likes him. I think Tua is going to like him just because he's going to be more of a security blanket than the wide receivers there. and he is, you know, primed for a breakout. And, you know, I think somebody said he was going to be a top five wide or top five tight end as well. So that was me. I'll just throw that out there again. The other thing that's actually pretty crazy about Gesicki is he's 10th overall in air yards, which is the first for, you know, he's leading all tight ends, but I'm talking overall, which is wide receivers too. So they're throwing the ball down the field to him.
Well, he basically is a wide receiver, right?
He is. Yes, he
is. So, yeah, I think a lot of people, if you look at his career so far, year one, absolute, you know, dud, right? He's playing behind, like, Durham Smythe, I think, you know, for snaps, and he's that raw tight end that's drafted in the second round that's not ready yet. Year two, Preston Williams goes out for the year, and he takes off, right? And so he does really well. And now year three, Preston Williams back in the fold. People are a little – well, he didn't do good with Devontae Parker and Preston Williams, but if you were one that believed in that, I think you are cashing in right now through at least these first 2 weeks, and I think that will continue. So, yeah, Gesicki has been absolutely dominant.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest difference for him is they're not playing him as an inline tight end anymore. They essentially, the first 2 years, they wanted him to learn how to play tight end, and, you know, he's a much more proficient blocker than he was, so he can do it. But they're using him like New Orleans used to use Jimmy Graham back in the day. So that's exactly how they should be using him. And now they're finally doing it. And now you're seeing that production.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, I got to talk about Logan Thomas, man. This guy is a guy I hyped up, and he's honestly getting a lot more targets here than I thought he would from Dwayne Haskins. He is third in tight end targets out of everybody. Everybody, man, he's behind Kelsey and Waller. And then it's this Logan Thomas, could get him off your dynasty waiver wires for free. Nobody was looking at him, even though that they said, you know, Washington starting tight end. And here he is just getting absolute work. And now he gets a Browns team in week three that gives up the most points to the tight end position. So he's 29 years old. He's a converted quarterback. That's obviously, you know, not ideal being that old and you're just starting to kind of break out. I mean, that's older than Hayden Hurst. And I think Hayden Hurst is like, what is he, 35 now, 36?
42.
Yeah. So, you know, 29 is not super old in terms of tight end years, but it's kind of up there. You know, how do you view him for dynasty? Because we've only seen 2 weeks. You know, the offense isn't something that you super love, but you love his volume within that offense. What's kind of his value in dynasty?
So he's probably a hold for me. If you're in a tight end premium, you're always looking for tight ends, and I'm going to wind up holding on to him. His metrics and, you know, his stuff on, you know, Pro Football Focus isn't that impressive. He doesn't have like huge, like, you know, yards after the catch. Yards after the catch, he's essentially just going down. He doesn't have any yards after the catch. He's only got 28. So he's catching the ball, but again, if he can be that red zone target, that's what they need there. So I'm holding him. I like him. I don't love him, but in the state of the tight end position, he can be a low end starter this year.
Right, right. Yeah, and he's super athletic too. I think that's something I didn't mention, is that his athleticism just jumps off the chart. You can look him up on playerprofile.com. He's just a workout freak. So the other tight end I've been hyping a lot, and it's kind of a 360, because I was a Kalei Warren guy his rookie year, hyping him up. And, you know, he's just playing behind these two guys, Darren Fells, who's, we're talking about all tight ends. There's another name for you. And this Jordan Akins guy, and didn't really follow Jordan Akins too much. Now I start doing my projections for the 2020 season, and all of a sudden I see this tight end for the Texans got 55 targets from a tight end. What? Oh, Jordan Akins. Who is this guy? So I look into him a little bit more. I read some camp reports. He has now kind of taken over Darren Fells for a majority of the snaps. They're both kind of playing with the ones, but he's having a better camp, people say. And all of a sudden now I'm in on Jordan Akins, and with DeAndre Hopkins moving out, I'm like, this guy can get more targets than he got last year. I think he can be a bigger piece. Obviously, Darren Fells had, what, 7 touchdowns last year. It was just a crazy number for only like 30 receptions. But I think this is Jordan Akins' year to kind of usurp Darren Fells. And I like him for dynasty. He's a little bit older as well. I believe he's late 20s. So it's a little bit older. But like we said with with Logan Thomas that that's not old for the tight end position. This is a guy that can still produce for you. I have him kind of in that same realm as Logan Thomas, as a guy I like for Dynasty that's super cheap. You know, a fourth can get him on your squad.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you props on Jordan Akins because he wasn't really on my radar. I mean, I knew of him, obviously. I was like, yeah, Jordan Akins, meh. And then you hyped him up, and I went out and got him in a couple leagues, and he's going to be a really good depth piece. And again, we talk about the state of the tight end position. You can probably trade one of these guys and get something decent for a return, especially in a tight end premium league. So if you were able to snatch him up, it's not like you're a fucking alligator, Jesus, then, you know, you can either start him or you can try and move him for something.
Yeah, and I'm someone who's holding on to him because I think there's definitely better days ahead. I don't think Darren Fells is going to be with the Texans too much longer, so I think he gets even more snaps, you know, as the season goes on, and then who knows for 2021. So that's a guy I am holding. A guy that I should have been on, honestly, I really should have, but I missed, and I will completely admit that I missed on him. The Colts go out and sign Trey Burton to kind of be the 1B with Jack Doyle because they really want to run this two tight end set with Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers. And then Trey Burton goes out, and now Jack Doyle goes out, and here's this just monster of a man, Mo Alie-Cox, who comes rumbling, bumbling, stumbling for 111 yards. He just turned 27. You know, Trey Burton can return week four. Like, are you in on Mac, as I call him, the Mac train, or is this some guy that you would look to sell after this big week?
I'll stick with him. I'll see what he can do, and I'll tell you what. Trey Burton, he's been dead since the Philly special. After that, he basically went to Chicago and died, and then he went, you know, I'm going to go back with Frank Reich, and it's not going to work out for him, but Phillip needs a tight end, and guess what? He's a tight end he can actually throw to, and he can get open, and he's huge, 267 pounds, 6'5". So he's a big target, and we know Phillip Rivers loves throwing the tight end. And granted, Phillip Rivers has not looked good so far, but when, you know, he doesn't have anything on the outside, he typically reverts to something over the middle or quick passes to somebody like Mo Alie-Cox.
Yeah, and we talk about these over-the-middle targets, right? Paris Campbell out for a while, the PCL injury, kind of out indefinitely, they say. It's not, they're unsure if that's going to be the whole season or just an extended amount of time. So I think that just helps Phillip Rivers, you know, target share to move towards Mo Alie-Cox. And when Jack Doyle comes back, I still think Mo Alie-Cox will have some good he'll have some good games still. I think he's, you know, they've opened the eyes now with this performance. And so that's a guy that if he's out there for some reason, snap him up off of waivers or maybe toss out a fourth if you need him.
And the other thing, Indy loves running two tight end sets. They love being in 12 personnel. So even when Doyle comes back, he'll still be on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Tom, anybody else that we didn't hit on that you want to hit on before we close it out?
I'm not going to hit on you, Robbie, no matter how much you try.
I'll try again the next episode, as I always do. So, guys, that's all we have for you. We're really getting pumped for week three. There's a lot of interesting guys that we're looking to see if they can kind of stick around with all the injuries. So keep your eye out on some of these waiver wire guys. You know, you never know who might step up for your team and actually you might become dynasty relevant instead of just maybe a couple weeks here for redraft. So, Tom, we have some good stuff coming out. I know you want to talk about your player prop stuff that you got coming out this weekend. If we're looking at maybe a little bit more DFS or betting, I guess, just props in general, how about you hype up the listeners on that a little bit?
All right, so I've been putting out some player props each week. I'm 4-for-4 on Twitter, 5-for-5 on the year.
No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. Making some money, making people some money, just trying to do that. We're going to start doing a show. We're going to try and do it on Saturday nights, and I'm going to try and get everything out for you on either Saturday night or early Sunday. The tricky part with props is they don't come out until, you know, 24 to 36 hours before the games are played. So some of the things are off the board and I can't get them in until like last second, but last week I hit you with JT rushing over 58.5. It was Deontay over 5.5 receptions. And then I've been hammering Calvin Ridley, which he has been in turn just destroying and making money for us. On the Thursday night game, Kareem Hunt over 12 and a half fantasy points. Most of the stuff I'm doing on DraftKings, but it's, you know, all applicable to FanDuel and whatnot. So be on the lookout for you. I'm going to try and make you guys some money, and let's get it going.
Yeah, Tom, I actually already had, and I'm not kidding, two people reach out. They've been listening to our pods. They've been following us on TFA, and they asked if you were going to start doing that because I was retweeting some of your props. So I think a lot of people are going to look forward to that. They're going to be able to make some money. So that's all we got for you for the TFA Dino Show. See ya.
No tienes que esperar a que te paguen para finalmente invitar a tus papás a comer. Solo te tiene que salir una oferta de sus favoritos en el McDonald's app. Ahorra con el app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. En McDonald's participantes.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.